Selection also, because I have been singing that song this week through my daily activities. It's the number of times I have a friend of mine that doesn't believe in eternal security, and so I was singing that song, was coming to my mind, and that scripture's that it's right out of scripture. That scripture says that I know whom I have believe and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed against him that day. So as we're singing that song, it's lifted straight out of scripture, and it gives us that reassuring promise. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians. Perhaps you have a bookmark there, because that's our text for the next couple of months, probably, as we go through this great doctrinal book of the Apostle Paul, given to us as they was sharing and teaching and building up the church there at Colossae. So we go right back to our text and we try to find other scriptures that relate to this, but we go right back to our text and take the Bible in its context. The best text for scripture is context, and the best book to interpret the Bible is the Bible itself. And so last week we observed some of what Jesus has accomplished as he brings us our great salvation. But the question could be asked, why Jesus Christ? Why is Christ acceptable? Why is he qualified? Why is he the only one qualified to bring us eternal life? Why is he the only one that we would call upon him? Why would Christians say that Jesus Christ is the only one? Biblical Christians, that is. Some folks today will say, well, I'm a Christian, but who am I to say that Christ is the only way? Well, I would say that because the Bible affirms that. Why do Christians say that Jesus is the only one? Now, I want you to participate with me today. I want you to say this phrase with me. Why Jesus of Nazareth? Let's say it together. Why Jesus of Nazareth? Good question. I'm glad you asked. The verses that follow where we studied the 7 days ago give us the answer. It gives us the answer as to why Jesus is qualified to do what we said he does and did last week. Why Jesus is qualified to deliver us. Why Jesus is qualified to translate us. Why Jesus Christ is qualified to redeem us. Why Jesus is qualified to forgive us. That's what we saw last week. So stand as you're able as we give honor to the Word of God, as they did in the book of Ezra, to first chapter of Colossians, verses 15 through 18. And we find the Word of God telling us this, talking concerning the Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So all these dominions and powers in the world, the worlds and the unseen world of the spiritual angels and demons, and all the nations of the world and all powers, they have their beginning in the creation and created by the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't come about of their own will. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him all things might have the preeminence. Father, we thank you for your word, the depth of it. We thank you that your word taught us last week what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that your word that we're looking at today tells us who we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for being able to be together in great freedom today. And Father, we do pray for the world that has the Christians in many places that don't have the freedoms that we have. Some that don't have the Bibles that we have, Lord. And we pray for missionaries that are working there. We pray as we give our funds to the Southern Baptist Convention, they'd be used wisely in getting the gospel out here and around the world. And Father, we thank you that we can study your word today. We pray that it would just go to the depths of our hearts and our minds, that it would cause us by faith to go out and share this glorious truth that we have the only Savior of the world, the risen Savior of the world that we can share and give to the world. So, Lord, bless us now in the time spent in your word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The repeated appearance of a word or phrase anywhere in the scripture should signal us that something very important has been said. When you read or study through the Word of God, any selected passage, whether it's a chapter or a few verses or a whole book, it's very important to look any word that's repeated. It's repeated there for an emphasis. In these verses that are before us today, we find these two words, all things. Verses 15 through 18, there's a number of times the phrase, all things, appears. Each time it is given, it's given in relation, pointing back to the Lord Jesus Christ. These all things of the Lord Jesus Christ remind us of why he is the only one who is able to give us salvation. Why we worship him. Why we honor him. Why we praise him. Why Jesus, the Bible, is Christocentric. All of the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus' coming. Even all the way back when God had to kill an animal, a lamb I believe it to be, to take those coats and make skins for Adam and Eve. That was a picture of the Lord Jesus going to be one day covering us with righteousness. The ark that Noah built was a picture of the Lord Jesus that we must go into Christ for safety and salvation to be delivered from the storm that would come. The lamb's blood throughout the Old Testament, all pointing to the Lord Jesus. And then we have these four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where we observe the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And then the rest of the New Testament is pointing back to the fact that he has come. So Christ is the all things emphasis of these couple of verses. So let's examine four things together this morning. First of all, the scripture is teaching us, this doctrinal thesis is teaching us, number one, all things were created by him. Verses number 15 and 16. All things were created by him. So when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking at Creator. Jesus Christ is Creator. Look at verse 15 and 17 again. Who is the image of the invisible God? Now we know the Bible teaches that God cannot be seen. Even Moses, as close as he was to God, he had to veil himself as God hit him in the cleft of the rock as God passed by. No man can look upon God and live, the Bible says. So Jesus took on flesh. So verse 15 says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved in creation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, let us make man in our image. Those plural words are there in the original Hebrew text. The word for God in the Old Testament there is Elohim. And Elohim said, let us make man in our own image. The word Elohim in the Hebrew is plural. It's the Trinity right there in the Old Testament. Jesus said in John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now look over, if you would, back a couple books in the book of Ephesians. Two books back, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Ephesians 3, 7 through 9. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, 7 through 9, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me, is Paul talking, by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make known all men see that the fellowship of the mystery that was from the beginning of the Lord hath head in Christ, who created all things by Jesus Christ. By all things were created by Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us also in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus. And I told you the Bible is Christ-centered, the Christ of the Bible. So Jesus said Himself, I am the Word. The Word become flesh. And John said, in the beginning the Word existed. The Word made all things. Jesus Christ, all things were made by Him. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in past times unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness and the glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He made Him purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high. Jesus Christ, being God and Creator, should give us reassurance. If Jesus Christ has the ability to create all things, everything that we can see and everything that we can't see. Now, think about this. When this was being written, the microscope had never been developed. We can see a lot of things that Paul could not see. But it goes beyond that. The forces and the powers and the angels that are ministering all around us all the time. And demonic activity that's all around us all the time. Don't underestimate how much demonic activity there is in the world. But the Bible says, where was that created? How was it created? It's been created by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Son of God is our Creator and our Redeemer. And that ought to give us reassurance. If He's able to create all things that we can see and what we can't see, boy, I can rest and assure that He's saved me to the uttermost and He's going to take care of me. Amen? Now, there's an important note here that we need to look at that I want to bypass. It's a phrase. The phrase firstborn here in these verses that we looked at in Colossians 1, verses 15 and 16, I don't want to overskip that. I don't want to miss that. Who is the image of the invisible God? That's fine. We can say that, okay, God, we were able to see God in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the next phrase, the firstborn of every creature. Now, some will misuse that and try to lift that up and say, look, see, Jesus is created. Well, that's not what that phrase means. The phrase firstborn here in these verses does not teach that Jesus was born first. The Bible clearly teaches who was born first. Cain. Adam and Eve were created. Cain was born. So Adam and Eve, the first people, then Cain was firstborn. Jesus was not born after Adam. This verse is teaching us something different. If this verse was teaching that Jesus was the firstborn before Adam or before Adam and Eve's children, therefore He would be created just like you and I. And that's not what the Bible teaches. If it was so, it would contradict what Paul and James and John and others have written in the New Testament. So, important Bible lesson for us here to be students of the Word of God. If we come to a verse that looks like it contradicts something else, then we don't have a clear understanding of that verse. So what it's teaching here, what is it teaching? The term here means to come forth from the Father in His essence. Christ's position or His rank, so to speak. That Christ exudes or comes forth from the Father. He is firstborn, so we mention God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit. It's a position of rank in the eternal Godhead of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit doesn't mean created in the sense that we think created. So, if there's a scripture that we don't understand and says that doesn't make sense with the other parts of scripture, we've got to come to a better understanding, because scripture interprets scripture and scripture does not contradict scripture. So we learn that all things were created by him in these passages. Number two, all things were created by him, but number two, the Word of God teaches that all things were created for him. All things were created by Jesus Christ. All things were created by him. And now for him, look at verse number 16. For by him were all things created, things that are in heaven, things that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. All things were created for him. That's that last phrase of verse number 16, and for him. The first sin in Adam and Eve broke the relationship that God had created Jesus Christ to have with mankind. Now, the planets were created by God, by Jesus. The planets were created by God and Jesus. The animals were created by the Lord Jesus. People were created by the Lord Jesus. I believe when the Bible says that God came walking in the garden to speak with Adam and Eve daily in the cool of the day, I believe it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And just by what we might call sanctified imagination, I can picture Jesus come walking in the garden as he did. I can come and see him, pictured him just looking over and reaching down and smelling some of the flowers. You ever do that with your garden? I do. I can picture the Lord Jesus Christ as I'm walking through the garden in the cool one day. Before he comes to meet Adam and Eve, I can just picture a beautiful little animal just coming over and Jesus reaching down and rubbing him on the forehead, or maybe that wet little nose. He created all that. And what does the Bible say? He created it. Not only was it created by him, but for him. For his pleasure. For his enjoyment. And Adam and Eve, as they were created by him and for him, that reminds us that not only Adam and Eve were created for him, but you were created for him. I was created for him. If we're honest with ourselves and one another, we'll come to places in our life and we'll say, what is it all about? What's the purpose? What's the meaning of this? That's the great question that mankind has asked. Why am I here and what am I here for? The Word of God tells us I'm here from him. He created me and you to have a relationship with him. And so when we seek through the Word of God and through singing and through fellowship to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are accomplishing the will of God. Hey, I want to know him. And he wants us to come and have greater relationship with him. This is why God went through great extremes to save us. His desire was to restore what sin had broken. God sent his son to die on a cross for us. That's why we can never leave out the cross, as I talked about last week. Because it's the means and method that God used to seek after us. We should be amazed that God would seek us. We should be amazed that God would save us. We should be amazed constantly that God would secure us. And people ask us, why do you go to church week after week after week? Why? Because I'm amazed. And I worship him. And I give him glory and honor. And giving him my Sunday morning is not too much for all that is given me, that God, through Christ and the Holy Spirit's work, would seek me, save me, and secure me. He created us. And we, like sheep, had run astray. But God still sought us. We sing along with the hymn writer. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, that's why music's so important. Because we sing it and it stays with us. The depths of some of the hymns that we were singing this morning was just wonderful. Number two, not only all things were created by him, and number two, all things were created for him. We're created for him. Number three, all things are sustained by him. Verse number 17 in your text. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The word consists here, translated in our English language, is the word sunisteno in the Greek. Sunisteno in the Greek. And the word is from which we get the word sustaino, is from the word which we get the word sustain. Christ is sustainer. He's creator, he's savior, he's also sustainer. Christ, being God himself in the second person of the Trinity, is the one who is able to do all of this. Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, have all the attributes that when we talk about the attributes of God. When we talk about God being all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, all-present, those are in the Lord Jesus. Now, why, when the Lord Jesus was with us, did he not exercise all of those all the time? He was present with the disciples, so he wasn't everywhere present. Well, the Bible teaches us that Christ veiled himself. He took upon flesh. He took upon limitations for a while that he might redeem us. He veiled those to have that earthly ministry. Christ is the one who is sustaining all things, conserving all things, and holding all things together. Boy, it looks like from time to time, everything's just going to fall apart. When we see the state of the world, when we see the state of the United States, and it's held together so greatly, so long. Mistakes along the way, yes. Sins along the way, yes. But it's been a beacon to the rest of the world. The world has leaned on America for so long. But we see it falling. If you don't see America falling, I don't know how you don't. But listen, Jesus Christ has not lost his grip. God has not lost his grip. That radio program that I encourage you to listen to on prophecy comes on 1 o'clock today. She often say, Jan Markell will say, everything is falling right into place. When we see the world falling apart, it's still under God's absolute plan. Even when man sins and does something crazy, God has a way of bringing it all to pass. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times, we looked at that before. Let's look at another part of it. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in the past by the fathers, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by also he made the world, who being the brightness and the express image of the person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ is still upholding all things by the word of his power. All he has to speak, and everything can change. All he has to do is some of the world powers that raise up. God speaks. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. And that power can be dissolved in just a matter of moments. America could be dissolved in just a matter of moments. Just one or two decisions by Congress or by a president. And everything could change. But it'll never happen without God's permission. Because Jesus Christ is sustaining all things. Acts 17:28. Look at Acts 17:28. Acts 17, 28. Acts 17, 28. Paul is preaching on Mars Hill. He's trying to share with folks how to be saved, and they'd come there with all their philosophies. And he says about God, who we know is God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also other poets said, for we are also His offspring. And so we see here, in Him we live and breathe and we have our being. What's that saying? He sustains us. The Bible says that God alloweth the rain to come on the righteous and the unrighteous both. God's sustaining this world. But let's look at fourthly. All things were created by Him. All things were created for Him. And all things are sustained by Him. But fourthly, and this is very important, this is how we summarize what we're looking at today. Back in our text in Colossians chapter 1, all things are subject to Him. All things are subject to Him. Now you can be subject to God by your will. Or you can be subject unto God by His will. Now, what do I mean by that? We can willfully come before Him and fall before Him and give our will to Him. Or God will have to one day, by His will, move you into eternal separation from Him. We can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and be subject unto Him and enjoy it. The Bible says over here in verse number 18, and He is the head of the body of the church, that's us, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. That's what that's telling us, preeminence. All things are subject to Him. Paul was telling us that by Jesus Christ, all are subject to Him. That Jesus Christ Himself is the premier one. In this culture, which was being written, they were subjects of Rome, of the Empire of Rome. They were being told in their culture that you need to bow down and do whatever the Roman emperor says. You're subjects of his. And Paul comes along, John comes along, and others come along, and Peter come along and say, no, wait a minute. We need to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, give unto Caesar, which belongs to Caesar. Give unto God, which belongs to God. Place government in its right place, and place God in His right place, that God is supreme even over the government, and we don't bow before anyone as Christians except God. The Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before them. That's why it ought to irritate us when we see someone kneeling before our flag. You stand for the flag, you kneel for God. You kneel for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you stand for that old glory, and you stand for that Christian flag and other flags. As far as I'm concerned, she can rot over in Russia before we exchange a criminal for another criminal. I know, you know some might say don't get political, but I'm here to tell you, if politics doesn't begin in the pulpit, it falls apart. Because where did a lot of things get started? In the pulpit. Where did the abolition of slavery get started? Got started in the pulpits. Where did the setting of independence of the United States and leaving under Britain's rule? It got started in the pulpit. Where did civil rights get started? It got started in the pulpit. And what happened is the pulpit got afraid in America, and we got to where we wouldn't mention politics, and that's why we're losing America. We don't bow before anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why putting God first is so hated and ridiculed in our culture. You stand up and say, wait a minute, I don't bow before the government. I bow before what the Word of God tells me to do. And if the government contradicts with the Word of God, I'm going to follow the Word of God. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. If we stand up and say, I'm doing this because God says so, don't be surprised when people don't like it. All things are subject to Him. Paul's reminding the church at Colossae and every church everywhere that's willing to read the Word of God, every church and every individual Christian, that Christ is the priority. All things are subject to Him. The focus of the church is Christ. And it's in to be in such a manner that the world can see it. People today want to ask, when you invite them to church, well, what style of music do you use? Oh, what kind of preacher do you have? Do you have a soft, tender, quiet preacher? Do you have a loud preacher? Do you have an old-timey preacher? Do you have a modern preacher? All that stuff. And all you need to tell them is our church exists to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to give Him preeminence, and all that other stuff is secondary. We're here to exist to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and all He's done for us, all He's doing for us, all He's going to do. And it doesn't matter if we have someone come and sing one style of music one day and another style of music another day. It doesn't matter if one day I get all fired up and the other day I'm a little docile when I preach. As long as Christ is exalted and that He has a preeminence in all things. The world needs to see that Christ is lifted up. It says here in our text, and He is the head of the body, the church. Sometimes the church can operate in the flesh instead of in the Spirit and in the Word of God. The church is not about the pastor who's in the pulpit. The church is not about the programs that are in the bulletin. The church is not about what position does it carry in the society or community. The church is not about the people in the pews. The church is not about the praise team or anything else. The church is about the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone, that He would have the preeminence. Now, how does it happen? How does it happen? It happens when we strive. We're making Christ preeminent in our individual lives. And when we strive to make Christ preeminent in first place in our individual lives, and we're striving toward that, when we come together, we have unity because we're all striving toward the same goal. Now, two examples in this passage. If the smoke detector goes off, we know I've preached too long because there's food upstairs. Nobody has to worry about a roast at home. Remember the old days when he used to say, 12 o'clock, need to go. Grandma's roast is ready. Just two more things and we'll be done, all right? There are two examples that Paul gives in this verse about Christ being first place. When Christ is first place, there's no room for Him to be second. First example he gives is Christ being head of the church. Christ is head of the church. Somebody might ask, well, who's the leader of your church? Christ. Oh, no. I mean, you know what I mean. No, Christ. Christ. There are appropriate positions in the church, or places, or offices, depending on what people want to call them. For people to have a New Testament church, there are two offices given in the New Testament, pastor and deacon. And committees are great, and they work, and they're helpful. But what the Bible says is most important. Christ is the head of the church. So really, Christ is the head of the pastor. Christ is the head of the deacons. Christ is the head of every committee. And that works. When that is put at work, then the church will function as it should. And that's what we seek to do here. Christ is the head of the church. For people to have a New Testament church, only Christ can be preeminent. That was for when it was written. Now, it's for us, and then it's in the future. No man can claim that position. There's some groups around the world that are saying, our head of our church is so-and-so. No, he's not. But if he is, it's not a biblical church. Christ is the head of the church. And another example he gives is that Christ being the firstborn from the dead. Christ being the firstborn from the dead. What's that phrase mean? Does it mean that Christ is the first one that ever rose from the dead? Well, we know that's not true. Elisha raised people from the dead in the Old Testament. Jesus himself raised other people from the dead. So how can Christ be the firstborn from the dead? Well, Christ is the firstborn from the dead because Christ died for our sins and rose again for our sins, and no one was there to bring him forth. When others were raised from the dead, they were raised by the power of God, using another instrument of God, another person, to raise them from the dead. And when they were raised from the dead, what happened to them sometime later? They died. Lazarus, sometime later, died. Jairus' son that Jesus raised died. When Elisha raised the lady's son, sometime later he would die. But Christ himself, raised from the dead by his own glorious power, never ever to die again. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. The word first is very important there. Christ wants to be first. Christ wants to be preeminent. Christ desires to be the premier of our lives. Let's ask ourselves today as we close the invitation. All things created by Christ. I don't have a problem with that. All things sustained by Christ. Point number three. Point two and four. All things were created for him. Are you living your life for him? Are you living your life for him? Am I living my life for him? Am I pouring my heart and energy and soul and the depths of who I am that Christ may be honored and glorified? Doesn't mean we don't have other things to do and live life, but it's my focus on Christ. Fourth point, that all things in Christ have preeminence. Do I seek for Christ to be number one? That's our invitation today. Maybe you need to have time for prayer with God and say, Lord, there's a lot of things in my life. Other things are becoming number one. Other things are creeping in. And other things are taking priority and precedent. But Lord, I want to refocus and make sure that you are premier. I know, I realize I was created for you. And I want to serve you the rest of my days. I want you to use me.